2 Chronicles chapter 11. Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, and he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men. So let's remember that Rehoboam is leading Judah and Benjamin, and the 10 tribes have gone off with Rehoboam leading them. So they've divided now that Solomon's died. And he went out to fight against Israel to try to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. But the word of Yahweh came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus says Yahweh, you shall not go up nor fight against your brothers. Return every man to his house, for this thing is of me." So they listened to the words of Yahweh and returned from going against Jeroboam. Now, to organize 180,000 soldiers was a huge job. Just think how much food 180,000 soldiers eat every day. There would have been a huge amount of planning, gathering people together, people coming from all the various villages, etc., organizing it all. And after all that effort, to then say to them, "It's okay, go home, we're not going to fight, we're giving up." And they would have all these soldiers would have all been, "Oh, rah, 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 yeah, we're going to go and fight." And then to say, "No, guys, you're just going home, we're not going to do it." So that shows a humility to God's word.
It's because you don't fight if somebody's your brother.
Exactly. Exactly. You shall not go up nor fight against your brothers. It is not good to fight against your brother. And that is a principle, because when you come to the New Testament, it's written there in the letters of John that if you don't love your brother, you do not love God. If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love the God whom you have not seen? So we must not fight against our brothers. And I think that he understood this well, because, you know, he had made all this effort to try and get the kingdom back to himself, got all his men ready. But he is humble to the word of the prophet and says, "Okay, we're not going to do it now." And you could say, well, he should have understood that anyway. He shouldn't have even prepared his 180,000 soldiers. But when you make a mistake, like he did, by preparing 180,000 men to go into the battle, it's very difficult to then change your decision. But he does. So he's a good example to us in that. So, Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. He put shields and spears in every city and made them very strong. The priests and the Levites who were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their borders, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons cast them off that they should not execute the priest's office to Yahweh. Because Jeroboam had appointed priests for the high places, for the male goats, and for the calves which he had made. After them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek Yahweh, God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to Yahweh, the God of their fathers. Well, you can see then how it is quite a natural thing for those who truly love God in spirit and truth to want to mix with each other. In the 10-tribe kingdom, they were worshipping the golden calves and idols, and it was quite natural that those people who just didn't want to do that and who wanted to worship the one true God, Yahweh, would come and want to do that in Jerusalem. And so they did. And they even relocated. They moved to live in Judah. And so it can be with us that if you find a church that's really living in spirit and truth, you might up everything and go and live there to meet with those people. Because, I mean, to be with your spiritual family is far more important than anything else, because they're the ones that you're going to live forever with, not your natural family, not the people at work or whatever. If they're not believers, then that's only for this life. And so it's quite right to think about moving somewhere in order to be with other believers. And certainly to not move away. If you're blessed with a functional church, you are greatly blessed. So many people don't have that blessing. You should value that and think very carefully about leaving it. I'm not saying don't for any reason at all, but I'm saying you should value that and really think carefully about moving away from it for, I don't know, the hope of better pay or career or whatever. Rehoboam took him a wife, Mahalath, the daughter of Jerimoth, son of David. After that, he married Maachal, the daughter of Absalom. Remember, Absalom was very beautiful, and I expect his daughter was very beautiful as well. Rehoboam loved Maachal, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and his concubines. He took 18 wives and 60 concubines. So he had 78 altogether, and he became the father of 28 sons and 60 daughters. Well, he had 88 children by 78 wives, which actually is not a huge number, really. If they just produced an average of one child each, or just, you know, one and a bit, because most people in those days were having quite a lot of children per wife. So I don't think that this was particularly blessed, and of course, he shouldn't have had a favourite wife. Maachal, we're told, was his favourite. He appointed Abijah, the son of Maachal, the favourite wife, to be chief and prince among his brothers, and he intended to make him king. He gave his sons food and blessing in abundance, and he sought for them many wives. Well, just because he'd married loads of wives, just because he'd had 78 wives, doesn't mean that he had to get his sons to do the same, but he did. And that's the trouble with some parents. They justify their own weakness by encouraging their kids to do that. Now, he'd had 78 wives, and it says that he sought many wives for his sons. Go on, boys, marry as many as you can. And it's not right, because God obviously made one man, one woman in the Garden of Eden, and that was his intended standard for marriage. One man, one woman. That's clearly the standard that was set in the Garden of Eden, and that is the assumed role of marriage and nature of marriage throughout the biblical record.